A five-year-old boy was holding a flower, crying inconsolably because it was his mother's funeral. Some well-meaning person tried to comfort the boy and said something like this. You know, little boy, you may be sad to lose your mom, but think of it this way. God has a garden and he needs your mother as a flower there to beautify it. Sounds comforting, sympathetic even. But instead of being comforted, the boy lashed out in anger. How could you, God? How could you take my mom from me? I need her much more than you need a flower in your garden. I wish this is just a made-up story, but it isn't. Suffering is real in life, even for Christians. In fact, today's scripture prepares Christians. Our faith in Christ is not a waiver, it's not a free pass from suffering. Conversely, it may be precisely that our faith is the cause of our suffering. Of course, not always, but it can be because the world subjects Christians to hostility. Now, of course, not all suffering is because of our faith. Many of us are still suffering, trying to make sense of the pandemic. Millions lost our lives, and we who survived it, thank God, of course, but we also continue suffering in its aftermath, the most devastating of which is inflation. So how can we reconcile a loving God with suffering? Answer, because in a world broken when human beings brought sins into a good creation, God himself suffered as well in the person of God the Son, Jesus Christ, so that those who believe in him have a way out of suffering. Yes, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians can find God in suffering. Christians can find God in suffering. That means even in the face of suffering, we trust that God is still in control, that he still cares about us. Knowing that we can find God in suffering empowers us to persevere in our faith when the world around us is crumbling. And that's what we'll be thinking about in today's scripture. Let's pray to ask God to speak to us his truth about finding God in our suffering. Almighty and gracious God, you are an omnipresent God. Everywhere, every time, every place, you are there. But sometimes you are silent. Sometimes you don't seem to care. Or we think you are unpowerful enough to help us. Oh Lord, today we ask that you will banish these wrong ideas. Quicken our hearts. Lighten up our minds with the true light so that we understand how you are still with us despite our suffering. In fact, you are very present, taking us, holding our hands, as we walk through this valley of suffering. Illumine our mind this morning, Lord, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to suffering, the main issue is one of timing. What I mean by that is, yes, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Yes, when God is present, supposedly, suffering is absent, but that time hasn't come yet. For that's when Jesus, having suffered for the sin of the world, resurrected and ascended to heaven, returns in his full glory to judge the living and the dead. That is to come. It is not here yet. And meanwhile, contrary to what many people presuppose, the presence of suffering doesn't mean God's absence. Yes, until the consummation of the kingdom of God, that is when Jesus returns, we can find God in our suffering. Today, God is still near us in our suffering. Now, I don't know what you're suffering from. Financial, maybe? Disappointment? Uncertainty of the future? Or other stress? Times of suffering make us feel that our faith is useless. Somehow, we feel that because we are suffering, that God is far from us, or God doesn't care, or He is unable to rescue us. But that's not true. We can be assured because God has dealt with suffering in His Word, in the Bible. This is especially poignant during the Lent season, when we reflect upon even Jesus, the Son of God, is not spared from suffering. So instead of thinking that our faith in Jesus will spare us from suffering, today's scripture teaches quite the opposite, that Christians may suffer precisely because we have faith in Jesus. Be that as it may, the Bible assures Christians that God is still in control, and yes, He is with us in our suffering. So please open your Bibles to today's scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Now generally, the Bible teaches that blessed are those who obey God and cursed are those who don't. That's general. But nowhere in the Bible is it said that the obedient is immune to suffering. Conversely, many, many references in the Bible tell us not only are believers not immune to suffering, we should actually expect it. So, Ecclesiastes, the Bible teaches Christians to first expect suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, with today's scripture, it opens up. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. As though something strange. It's not strange at all. That's what Peter is saying here. And just a bit of background for the book of Peter's, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Remember that the Bible is a library of 66 books that teach us about God and His relationship with us, His creation. The book of 1 Peter is written to Christians in five provinces of the Roman Empire. Apostle Peter, the author, was writing to encourage the Christians who were facing persecution for the faith. Trial, persecution, these are different words which reflect suffering. Do not be surprised, that is expected. Now, Christian going through suffering is a theme, not just in 1 Peter, but in Psalms, in the book of Job, in Daniel, etc. Now, I don't know what your Christian experience has been. There's a particular branch of believers who are attracting large crowds because theirs is a gospel focused on only blessings. In extreme cases, they teach that suffering means something is wrong with your faith. Now, of course, ECCS here, we are not against blessings. In fact, we ask God for it. But when Christian faith is founded on the expectation that God is here to make our life convenient, comfortable, and successful, then it is not the faith that the Bible teaches. Just look at the life of Jesus Christ. Isaiah describes Jesus as a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Isaiah chapter 53. Over and over again, Jesus told His disciples He must suffer many things and be crucified. Suffering is to be expected. A 5-year-old girl was misbehaving in church one day. Her dad had to take her outside for some corrective measures. The dad asked the girl, "Do you know what you are about to get?" She turned her big brown eyes and said, "A lolly?" I wonder sometimes if we being Christians are being a bit childish. The Bible tells us to expect suffering, and yet all we want to think about is convenience, comfort, and success. One chapter later than today's scripture warns us, we have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Yet, we wishfully expect Jesus to solve all my problems. But because the Bible teaches us to expect suffering, we can take it with the full confidence of finding that God there with us, even in our suffering. Therefore, we can continue to commit ourselves to our faithful Creator, even in the face of suffering. So, the first point for today, expect suffering. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, when we expect suffering, what are we going to do about suffering? What do we do with it? And that's the second point for today. The Bible teaches Christians to endure suffering. Expect it and endure it, not to run away. You of course, try to run away, but you can also endure it. In the previous 2 weeks, our Lent sermon series covered repentance and humility. These are two things that happen in us, right, from inside of us. Suffering is something that happens to us from the outside. Now, those of you who have lived long enough, you'll know, we can't always control what happens to us. The only thing we can control is how we respond. And for suffering, the Bible teaches us, endure it. Endure it. Now, why should we endure suffering? Because suffering is the means by which our faith becomes real. In other words, suffering can even be an instrument to build our faith. And the Bible even says today that those God love, He will bring them a discipline. That is to praise God, to bear His name, because if we who are believers in Christ don't get this discipline, then those who are not disciplined, those who don't believe in God, oh wow, they're going to be paying even more of the consequences of their sin. Now, of course, as we think about suffering, especially during Lent, Lent is a season in which we deny ourselves the comfort of life. And in no way is this an attempt to manufacture suffering as if to gain righteousness points, right? We don't need to look for suffering. Suffering will come looking for us. Suffering is part of our calling as well as our testimony for Christ. For when you stick with Christ in the face of suffering, that is a strong testimony. Besides, enduring suffering deepens our roots of faith. It's like orange trees in an orchard. Some tourists visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. And the season was unusually dry, and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. So the tour guide explained, and you know, he took this tour group to one that is drying up, and then he took this group to his own orchard where he did not even use irrigation much. And he explains, you know, the trees in his orchard could go without rain for at least 2 more weeks. Why? Because when they were young, he frequently kept water from these trees. And that hardship caused these trees to send the roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. That's why the tour guide's trees are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While other trees are being scorched by the sun, his trees are finding moisture at a greater depth. And that's only because those orange trees have always had to struggle to sink the roots deeper in order to get moisture, while the other orange grove trees, they are constantly irrigated, so they don't even bother to send the roots down. But when a drought hits, they dry up quickly. Why do Christians endure suffering? Because suffering is not a setback to our agendas, but rather an orientation to God's agenda. Suffering drives us to dependency on God. James chapter 1 verse 12, today's scripture. Blessed is not just, oh, those guys are going to do okay, but blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Not from today's scripture, but from book of James. And also, the book of Hebrews 12:2-3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Is suffering causing you to grow weary? Are you losing heart in your faith? Today's scripture encourages us that we can find God when we endure in our suffering. In fact, we can even be encouraged even more, or even excited, that our roots of faith are growing deeper to allow us to drink to our fill from Jesus, the living water. For Jesus himself has gone through suffering of the most unimaginable extent, but didn't grow weary. Therefore, don't lose heart. Not only should you not lose heart as you endure suffering, the Bible teaches you to go one step further in suffering. And that's today's third point. The Bible teaches Christians to embrace suffering. Yeah, indeed, some faces, whoa, jaws drop. To embrace, how is it possible? To embrace suffering. Now, embrace means taking something on board, right? It's like when you embrace something, this is what you do. You take something and hold it to your chest, indicating some sort of endearment. In other words, accept it. Embracing is accepting it. Now, before you think I've gone senile by saying that, you know, suffering is to be embraced, let me point your attention to some scriptures. Back to today's scripture, verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Hear that? Rejoice, even stronger than embrace. Actually, way back in his first chapter, Apostle Peter has already sounded that idea in verse 6 of chapter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Hear that? It's a time issue. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And sure enough, Peter wasn't the only apostle saying this. Just now we heard James saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, and blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. There's Apostle Paul as well, who was even able to rejoice while chained up in the prison, as he wrote to the Christians in Rome. We also rejoice in our sufferings, from Romans 5:3. Now, friends, I don't know how your Christian walk has been so far. If things have been going swell for you, fantastic, I'm happy for you. But if your life is anything like mine, I'm sure you have experienced suffering. So how can we embrace suffering? I believe suffering forces us to look forward. We must learn from the Israelites' Exodus experience. After all that God has done for them, taken them out of Egypt, first time they faced a problem, what did they do? They looked back and they idealized, oh, how wonderful life was in Egypt. Hey, Moses, do you think there's no tombs in Egypt to bury us so that you take us into this wilderness and throw us out here and let us die here? Instead of casting their eyes to the promised land ahead of them, they longed for how things were in Egypt. Friends, if we're not looking forward for God's kingdom come, we will be stuck looking back for our kingdom that's gone. Revelation 21:4 tells us, the future kingdom that we are headed for, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is the consummation of the kingdom of God when Jesus returns. But meantime, time hasn't come yet. So, what do we do? During the Lent season, we, as Christians, reflect upon the great price Jesus paid in redeeming us from sin. Because Jesus suffered in our place, therefore, Christians can find God right in the midst of our suffering by expecting suffering, by enduring it, and even by embracing it. Christian faith in Christ is not only about blessings and good times. Of course, we have nothing against them. But until the time comes for Jesus to return, let us make room for suffering as they make our faith real, as they make us dependent of God, on God instead of just ourselves. Yes, friends, we can find God in our suffering. Therefore, we are not weary or lose heart, even when we suffer. My grandfather found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen, crying at the top of his voice. Little Johnny was asking his grandfather to get him out of his playpen. Go, Gramp, out! It was only natural for grandfather to reach down to try to lift the little fella out of his predicament, right? But as he did so, the mother intervened and said, no, Johnny, you are being punished, so you must stay in. Poor grandfather, he's at a loss. He really didn't know what to do. Because on the one hand, the child's tears and chubby hands reached deep into his heart. But on the other hand, the mother's firmness in correcting her son for misbehavior must not be lightly taken. What to do, lah? Here was a problem of love versus law. But love found a way. The grandfather could not take the youngster out of the playpen. So what did he do? He crawled in with him. And that's what Jesus did, to break the curse of sin. He who is divine emptied himself so that he can come as a man to deliver us from our suffering once and for all. Now, of course, unlike little Johnny, our suffering may or may not be due to punishment, right? Sometimes things just happen. It is not even our fault. What did we ever do to deserve the lockdown of the pandemic? But whatever is the case, I want you to note that when it comes to suffering, it is not about explaining. We may not know all the reasons and we may not be able to explain it. It is okay. But we are told, what the Bible tells us is to expect it. And expecting it, we endure it. And enduring it by the grace of God, we can embrace it. Thank God that the God of the Bible can be found in our suffering. Amen.